Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 313, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. What's November 15th? That's easy. It's National Education Support Professionals Day. It's National Raisin Brand Day. National Spicy Hermit Cookie Day. I don't know what the fuck that is. National Bundt Cake Day. I know what that is. National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. National Philanthropy Day. And America Recycles Day. Or do they? Because in LA, I see them putting the recycling and the trash in the same truck and it goes. And I'm saying, well, I guess they separated at some point. But that's where we are. Blake, do any of those resonate with you?
Yeah, clean out your fridge day, I think, okay, for me, is every single day. Yeah, no, I subscribe to 46 meal kit companies, so it's a constant, it's a real mess.
You always have a bag of rapidly spoiling spinach for some reason in the back of your
refrigerator. It's a race against the clock.
Yeah. Well, you already know what time it is. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. the Blazer for any occasion, the Lord of Lankershime, your boy Kusama, obviously, and you heard me pull my guest host in. It's the Lord of Chaos himself, one of my favorite people, and I believe one of your favorite people too. Please welcome my guest host, Blake Wexler.
Hey, thanks for having Miles. This is Blake Wexler, aka I want to Blake free. Ooh. I want to Blake free. I want to Blake free from Jack's lies. He's so self-satisfied. I don't need him. it's great to be here. Thanks for letting me co-host.
Oh, yeah, no,
I'm psyched. It's a lot of responsibility.
No, no, not at all.
I'm
on the show.
Out.
We don't do anything. We're worthless. No,
don't say that.
We're mere voices.
Union job.
Yeah. We're mere voices. We're mere voices. But yes, let's move on to our guest today. First time guest, but someone I've definitely known about for some time. I'm sure many people have as well. Not only is this person a very talented author, they're also a comedian. They've worked in tech. They gave us many memories throughout 2020 on the social medias. I think it's safe to say that their debut memoir, Foolish, is out now, because it is out now. That's why it is safe to say, and you should pick it up. Please welcome, and obviously I do want to give the subhead to that title, Foolish, Tales of Assimilation, Determination, and Humiliation. I think words many of us that listen to the show can live by.
That's a great title.
Please welcome to the third chair, Sarah Cooper!
Oh my God, this is the best intro I've ever gotten.
No.
This is amazing.
Really?
Well, yes.
You're amazing. Well, make it easy.
It's Sarah's top 25 for sure. I mean, we'll take that.
We'll take that.
I mean, the singing, the yelling, the jerseys in the background. It's a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. Well, this is the rack of jerseys behind me is because I don't have proper soundproofing. So this is kind of like baffling. And it's also baffling to my partner why I have so many jerseys as someone who's almost 40
years old.
Yeah,
that is a cost-efficient way of doing it, is buying authentic jerseys instead of
just
padding. Yeah.
They're my kids. I've had these for many years. You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought you were just showing off.
No, I mean, I do show off my new Wu-Tang New York Knicks jersey. I am proud of that one.
That's in the front for a reason. You put that there.
Absolutely. That's absolutely. Right. I spent way too much money on it. But anyway, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're traveling. You're all over the place. So thank you for making the time, for stopping by. Really appreciate that.
Oh, anytime. Anytime for you.
Oh, thank you. This is getting started so well. I feel like we already know each other. How's that been putting out your first memoir? Because this isn't your first book, right? This is something you've done. This is just your first memoir.
Yeah, this is my first memoir. I had another book called 100 Tricks to Appear Smart in Meetings. And then I had another book called How to Be Successful Without Hurting Men's Feelings. And then I had a few other things I did. But this is the first one with lots of words, you know, and sentences and paragraphs and chapters and stuff. So that was yikes, you know.
Yeah. So you can't color in the images on this one because that's like a traditional book.
Yeah. No. And they were going to have like a little section with like pictures and stuff. And then I think we decided not to. So it doesn't even have that many pictures in it, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
That's huge. Yeah. Are you on a tour for it now? Is that why you're traveling or?
My tour kind of ended already. The book came out in October, but I'm doing another event here in Boston. Amazing. So that's why I'm doing a little traveling. But, you know, I spent too much money on clothes this month. So I was going to take myself on a trip to London, and now I don't have money for that. So now I'm in Boston for 2 days. So instead of London, I'm in Boston for 2 days in the middle of November. So that's smart. Okay.
At least you're in New England. You know,
Boston is the London of New England.
Oh my God. What a good connection. Yeah. Instead of England, I'm in New England. Yeah.
Do you do that thing? Like when you look at all the clothes you bought that prevented you from going to London and you look at them, you're like, that's London. I'm looking at London right now. This reminds me of when I would do shit like that, buy shit I didn't need. And I'm like, oh, now I can't do this other thing. And I'm like, this pair of soccer cleats that I bought for, I don't know why, haven't played in a year.
Yeah. I think the thing that kills me is when I spend a lot of money on one outfit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I could have gotten 8 outfits for this one outfit.
Yeah, math isn't mathing. I get it.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's not travel. It's like medical expenses that I forgo because I'm like, oh, there's a pair of back surgeries that I have on the ground. But instead, I went on StockX and purchased something. So no, I hear you. Yeah, travel.
Surgery, Blake?
I am currently.
You have two backs. You need a pair of back surgeries.
Yes, that's true.
Or was that like some kind of biblical reference to making the beast with two backs?
Yes, I'm getting a back reduction. Is what I'm getting because I have two, and I'm told I only need one.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. Thank you for being honest. We appreciate transparency here.
Anytime.
Sarah, we got your back.
Yeah, backs.
We've got your backs.
Sarah, we're going to get to know you even better. But first, we got to let people know what we're going to be talking about today. Republicans, got to talk about them. They're coping with being wrong by being wronger, it sounds like. They're just doubling down on a bad hand. You hate to see it, or maybe you love to see it. And also, found out our laws aren't quite keeping up with our driving habits. And we're going to look at how laws from about 20 years ago haven't quite kept up with our cell phone technologies and how people are not being very good about being safe on the road. Truth Social, you hate to see it. They lost $73 million since it launched. And just turns out as they try and bring the company public, more information comes out as part of the process of merging. So we benefit from seeing just how the art of the deal actually works. Mm-hmm. And maybe that Jeremy Renner has a better app than even Donald Trump. Then we'll talk about SpaceX. They're trying to launch a Starship rocket again this week, but there's a lot of safety violations that have been going on at SpaceX. I had no idea about that. Are very troubling. Even if you are an Elon stan, probably not. But for those of us that aren't, very troubling. And if we get time, we'll talk about Andre 3000's new album that's coming out Friday. Oh. Just drop that.
We'll have time.
Oh, yeah, we'll make time. We'll make time.
Yeah, that's the lead story.
Even if we scrap every other story we're going to talk about. Before we do all of that, Sarah, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I was doing a deep dive on Suzanne Somers today.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know, you all are probably too young to remember Three's Company, but it was...
Hey.
But I agree with the sentiment.
Jack Tripper was my first celebrity crush.
Oh, and, wow, John Ritter?
John Ritter. Yeah. And anyway, Suzanne Somers, she recently died. She died, I think, a week ago. Or no, a month ago. She died a month ago.
Yeah.
October 15th, she died.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so she wrote 25 books. Did you know that?
No.
Wow.
I think my knowledge of her went from, obviously, there's a knock on my door, they'll be waiting for you. Like, I was old enough to watch Three's Company reruns. And then I was like, oh, and then you became the Thigh Master lady.
Right.
And those are kind of the two, like, pinnacle or, like, big standout moments in my elder millennial brain.
Right.
But she wrote, I didn't know she was a prolific author.
She wrote 25 books. She left Three's Company and didn't talk to John Ritter for 20 years because she kind of ruined the show because she wanted to be paid as much as he was being paid on the show for like the fourth season or fifth season.
Yeah.
And then she had like a follow-up sitcom that like called She's the Sheriff that just was rated 44th of the 50 worst shows ever made.
Oh, no.
But then she came back and she was the mom on Step by Step or one of those like, you know, CGI. Third Friday, whatever shows. Mm-hmm. And she was married to her husband for 55 years and he's still alive. He's 10 years older and he's still alive. And they had this like really explosive sex life, like into like their 70s. Like they were having sex multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I found out a lot about Suzanne Somers. That's
I mean, she always had a bit of, you know, sex appeal to her. So I guess that doesn't quite strike me as surprising, but yeah, it's good to have like goals to be like, you can have sex multiple times a day in your 70s
and truly
your body will break.
Yeah
Man, what like were her books like sort of memoirs or was she also like, was she getting into like kind of interesting niche stuff?
Her first book was a book of poetry. And the first time she did late night was talking about her poetry, her book of poetry. And in the book of poetry is about touch and how important it is to touch people. And she got like Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon to hug each other because she was like, you guys never touch each other. And like they touched each other for like the first time. It was like really funny. And then she wrote a few memoirs and she wrote like self-help books. She had some weird medical theories that were like questionable.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm just reading one right now that she thinks fluoride may have caused mass shootings or stuff in household cleaners. Okay, you know, we can't bat a thousand.
Peer reviewed.
We can't bat a thousand.
Peer reviewed. Yeah.
But she did get breast cancer 22 years ago and very aggressive breast cancer, and she survived for 22 years. So, you know, it worked. Maybe it worked for her, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Suzanne. You know, what a legend. What a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a fan before?
We used to do something. Oh, no, go ahead.
What were you going to say? Like,
do you want to know what I was going to?
Yeah, you're going to shame yourself in front of everyone. Go ahead.
I'm not shaming myself. I'm telling you a real story, is that I knew that she was a prolific writer because in school, in like elementary school, we used to do something called summer's reading, where each summer we would read Suzanne Somer books exclusively before the next grade.
Stupid.
So whatever you were going to say, now you can say it.
Wow.
Are hysterical, and I hope that you will start a movement across elementary schools. I think summer reading needs to be a thing now.
Summer's reading, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And have all these kids talking about like, is there fluoride in our water, teacher? We need to talk about this. I read something very interesting.
I'm never going to brush my teeth again.
Yeah. Like, damn you, Somers. I don't even know what I was going to say.
Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was going to say, Blake. You completely neuralized me with that amazing top tier joke. Sarah, what is something you think is overrated?
I have a few things, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll allow it.
Yeah,
the first thing I would say is astrology. Mm-hmm. I had this conversation last week where I was telling a friend that I can't figure out like what I want. I keep going back and forth between things. Like, do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? And he was like, are you a Gemini? And I was like, no, I'm a Sagittarius. And he was like, I knew it.
Exactly.
And I was like, wait a second. You knew that I was a Sagittarius, even though a second ago you thought I was a Gemini. Like, leave me alone. Like, why is everybody like, I'm like sun rising, like Scorpio falling, like whatever it is. Like, what is it? Like, why do people believe in this? I don't understand it.
It's a way to, I always give this anecdote because I was always interested by astrology, but it was usually at my loneliest I got into it because... shout out Susan Miller's Astrology Zone. She would have like love forecasts and be like, you're a Virgo, you need to keep your eye open. And that was a way for me to give myself some kind of hope that I would be like, this thing is telling me some shit that I don't believe myself, but I need mm-hmm. someone who I believe is tapped into something larger mm-hmm. than I can understand to help me understand yep. that. And then, yeah, cut to things where people have been like, are you a Scorpio? I'm like, no, I'm a Virgo. Like, exactly. And I'm like, exactly. come on yeah. now. Like, you sound like one of those, like those psychics that get busted on TV where they're like,
yeah, yeah.
you have but a brother. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But also like when you were a kid, like when I was like a boy crazy and you used to do those like, you know, paper things.
Oh,
where
yeah.
you're like,
fortune teller. You're
gonna mm-hmm. Yeah. The fortune teller thing or the MASH thing. Like,
yeah.
Which also made me remember this idea. This is what Facebook needs to do. Okay.
Yeah.
They have so much information and data on every single person. They could figure out like all of my data, who I am today, and they could match it up with someone who's very, very similar demographically and like mentally to someone who's 5 years older than me. And they could literally tell me where I'm going to be in 5 years, probably.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
They could do that.
That would be wild. Could you imagine? Like, that feels like such a double-edged sword because on one hand, you could see, like, all it would take would a couple to be accurate and then people to completely give it all away, like, all their agency away to, like, the meta fucking right. oracle. Yeah.
Exactly. But I just read that we don't have free will anyway, so who cares?
Yeah. Exactly.
And then we're fine. Yeah. Meta took it away.
Meta yeah. took it away.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I don't fuck with the Matrix. You know what I
that's
mean?
That's why I don't
that's
fuck
why you
with
stop.
The You're in the yeah. Matrix.
Nah, nah. Mm-hmm. Watch
a fish
this,
can't
nah.
tell it's in water, dude.
I've been out. It was a real bad mushroom trip, but I'm pretty sure I was out for a little bit. Sarah, what else do you think is overrated, Sarah?
Personal growth. I think knowing yourself, you know, self-awareness. I feel like the people who are most successful aren't self-aware at all.
Truly. Yeah. They have some. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why are we getting to know ourselves? Like, I feel like I've really gotten to know myself so much now that I'm basically who I was like 13 years ago. And like the sayings that my mom used to say that I used to think were so stupid, I now find myself saying them like, it is what it is. Like, why am I saying that?
Right. It's well, so scary when you start repeating what your parents do. It's horrifying.
But also
no free will.
Also, it's true. How mm-hmm. do you argue with it is what it is?
Yeah,
like, you can't argue yeah. with it.
It's this is present. You're like, of course, that's an observation.
Right.
Right. Pretty objective. Hey, so, it's
my dad used to say, don't step in the oil constantly whenever we'd walk through a parking lot, like if a car was leaking oil. And I'd be like, God, why does he always say that? And now I'm like, yeah, I guess I was stepping in it and dragging it through the carpets of our house.
We had carpets.
Gotcha.
And it ruined
Show
his
off.
Life. So I'm like, yeah. yeah, thank you. It's been a good few years. But yeah, I'm a lot of nepotism in my life.
Yeah, tell him about your grandfather, the Carpet King of South Carolina.
He was the Carpet King of South Carolina. Yeah, no, he laid them. So he was originally labeled a carpet bagger, and then he turned lemons into lemonade and called himself yep. the Carpet King and opened up a multi-billion-dollar business.
What I love.
He turned
what
lemons yeah. into lemonade and became a carpet king.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah,
he opened up a lemonade stand and sold carpets as an adult.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And was Happy Wexler
story. And when he called himself the Carpet King, did he spell carpet yeah. with a K, too?
See, it is king almost with a as C. if...
I think he did. It wasn't like the Calvin same. Klein logo, right? It was like a CK.
It was exactly that. Yeah. Yeah. It was 100%. You know exactly what's... Are you like scraping my Facebook data? Because I've posted about this a lot.
I'm the Oracle of...
directly.
I'm the Oracle
I can't tell
of,
what's yeah. real on this show. I really can't.
Sorry. That's the goal. That was a joke.
Okay.
But this is not the Matrix, though. We're in the real world. I want to argue on behalf of the real world mm-hmm. there.
Okay.
But you'd say... You think... I mean, you haven't had any personal growth. You said, like, I'm the same person I was 13 years ago.
Well, I had this, you know, the first joke I ever wrote, ever told on stage was a year ago I was single and today I'm no longer single. I'm now desperate.
that's really funny.
And
that's great.
Thank you. And it's like true again.
Oh,
I've been married. I've been divorced. And now I'm like right back where I was 13
right,
years
sure.
ago. And it's just like, and I've done all this work on myself. I've had all these relationships and I've had all this like introspection and I've looked at everything and I've overturned everything and I've digged in and I've hunted and I'm right back where I started. So what was the point?
I think it's, you know, we're all paying our tuition to the school of experience. I think you will now, whatever this next, juncture, the next venture is romantically, you're going to use all of these learnings. You know,
fuck that.
Like, what the fuck was it all like for? Shit.
Yeah, no, it sounds awful.
What are some of your first dates like, Sarah?
Even have dates. That's the one thing I did change is I got off all the dating apps. Like, 13 years ago, I was on all the dating apps. This time, I'm not. So I did change that.
Okay. Yeah. And what's your methodology now? So you learned something there. You are different.
I'm literally just waiting. I'm literally just like a spider in a web, just like waiting for somebody to come along.
Perfect. It's come when you meet that person.
I'm waiting to suck the fucking. Oh, sorry. No.
To paralyze them with my venom.
You'll be a husk.
Roll them up in a carpet.
You'll be a dried up husk when I'm done with you. What's something you think is underrated, Sarah?
A fake plants. I really love my fake plants. They make me feel like I'm taking care of things, but then I don't actually have to take care of anything. But it's like it adds all this greenery. I don't know. I really love fake plants. And I really feel like people look down on me for not having real plants. And they keep trying to get me to like get a cactus or get a succulent or something that like, shut up. Just I have fake plants and it's okay. You know?
Yeah. Shout out to plastic plant people. I have more judgment seeing somebody with dead ass plants than I would fake plants. So aside that from the air quality being different. Yeah. Why not?
That's so indicative of your friends knowing that like you're a busy performer, writer, comedian, that they're like, don't get something that you need to nourish and take care of. Get something that doesn't require water or any care whatsoever that you can just leave in your home. No, I think fake plants are amazing because now they look real. Like this isn't the 40s back
you know
when it's
how many
like,
times,
that's a, yeah. You know, that's
when it was this like, is definitely many, like, not the 40s. Yeah. This is not back when they used to look so fake and like,
thank you.
Where you're like,
it's gotten better with each decade.
With each decade, it's really improved.
Yeah.
My grandfather was the fake plant king. So.
Oh.
I was going to say, I'm like, go on, Sarah. Let us know, you know, did you come from meager upbringings or did you, were you the princess of the fake flower industry? Mm-hmm. Now I find myself like when I'm with my partner, Her Majesty, we'll go out, I'll like touch shit because I'm so convinced. I'm like, is this shit fake? This shit looks too good. And then I'm like, or like I'll end up breaking a leaf on a real thing. And I'm like, oh shit, my bad. And then other times when I find them, I'm like, I knew it, but that shit looks real good. That looks fantastic.
Maybe this speaks to our whole thing about like what is real.
Right, truly.
Things that are fake look so real, and some things that are real look fake because they look so real.
And then at that point,
that's such an Aquarius thing to say.
Yeah. Oh wait, are you an Aquarius? Oh, Sagittarius. Yeah, I knew that.
Is your name Aquarius? Miles? Okay.
Yeah, Aquarius was probably it's somewhere in your chart though.
It's a moon. It's a sun. It's a
It's a moon. It's a mood. You know, that's what we all say.
It's a
It's a vibe.
It's all vibes. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk some news. We'll be right back. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Want to check in with the Republicans. Because last Tuesday, they got a bit of a shellacking, I think some people would say, in elections across the country. Someone called wake-up call number maybe 73, 75, that their full frontal attack on abortion rights and protections for transgender people is not a winner somehow. Just doesn't. There's not a lot of data to back that up. We saw losses for Moms for Liberty candidates across the country. And in Ohio specifically, candidates that ran under, like, no rights for anyone except cis dudes lost 73% of their races. Okay. That's not a good success rate when you control the entire state election maps and things like that. And you're getting around a 25% success rate. And so for a second, I thought maybe they would realize that this is one of the worst platforms to run on in the modern era, but pretty much everyone except for like a handful of Republicans basically doubled down on this. In Ohio specifically, again, the response from Republicans that lost their fight to stop abortion rights from being enshrined in the state's constitution figured that the immediate response should be going after trans rights again, even though that was a losing formula for their candidates. And like in this very sadly transparent act of desperation and hatred, state legislators put hearings on the books like immediately after Tuesday to discuss new bans on gender affirming care, bathroom laws, and fucking drag shows. And these are all things that we've seen, like drag show bans have been struck down in courts across the country. And we're like, what is for real? What is going on? Again, for the people in the back, 73% of the candidates running on this kind of shit lost. But again, that hasn't stopped the other losers to deny the reality that they are very, very, in fact, wrong. I mentioned on Monday about the RNC chair, Ronna McDaniel. She insisted that they are right. And it is reality that is wrong about why we should keep running on this terrible, terrible platform. Let me play this for you.
This isn't true. Listen, I'm proud to be a pro-life party, but we can win on this message. The American people are where we are, and they want common sense limitations. They want more access to adoption. We want to make sure that there's pregnancy crisis centers. These are things we can win on, but we have to talk about it. And you can't hide in a corner and think abortion's not going to be an issue.
Oh, okay. So for the record, we can win on this message.
Did you hear her literally almost say people want more access to abortion?
Yeah.
Stop herself and say adoption. She literally almost said it. She knows she's lying through her teeth.
Let me do that one more time. Yeah, I didn't quite catch that.
And they want common sense limitations. They want more access to adoption.
Abdoption. Abdoption.
Abdoption.
Yeah, okay, get one of aboptions. That's what I meant.
Everyone gets a free bop it. Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah, let's go further right. You know, like, people don't already want this far right as these policies are. Let's keep going further. See if they're turning the dial.
I say let them do it. Way.
Yeah. I mean,
if they keep losing, go ahead.
It makes it very easy.
Yeah.
It makes it very easy that
knock yourself out.
If you're running against a Republican, you have to be, again, like we've said, you just gesture to them and be like, right. So there's this person, just so you know. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to tell you what I believe. I'm just telling you, I'm not this person.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure, I get helping adoption outcomes is fine, but you need to couple that with like actual care for people and like kids that are in foster care, like actually look at it holistically if you're talking about adoption. But that's not what it is. You just throw that out because it's an alternative. And then
I'm so bored with this shit. Like, it's so boring. Like, it's so frustrating, too. It's just like it's all of these buzzwords just to get people like riled up. And no one's riled up anymore. I think people are just dead inside at this point because it's just like the same shit over and over and over and over and over again.
Like, and even with their own base, like, you have to remember, it's your own base that's also voting to enshrine fucking abortion rights in a state constitution. That's not just because the libs came out. That's right. Because even your own base is like, well, I don't, that shit sounds just fucking wild to me. But yet they insist, right? And then they're like, oh, of course, we want common sense limitations. Again, those are still limitations on healthcare. So miss us with that shit. And crisis pregnancy centers are not someplace you go for compassionate care if you're having trouble with pregnancy or you're conflicted. They are bait and switch operations aimed at discouraging people from having abortions, like, and keeping the pregnancy no matter what through the power of prayer or whatever they want to offer you there. So,
yeah, I read something about one of those crisis centers that they show you like a fake ultrasound where the baby, like,
oh God,
actually looks bigger than it actually would actually be. And then it also like has a little like thought bubble, like, hi, mom.
No way.
it's signing like, its first NBA contract, like in the womb, where it's like, this baby's a cash cow.
You don't want to abort this one. It's going to be, it's going to go places. This is going to be your Sandra Bullock vehicle right here.
Right. You go in there and you're like, I just came here to fuck with you. I am not pregnant. So what was that? They're like, fuck.
So I need surgery because I don't know how. Did I swallow this thing? Like, what happened? How did this get inside me?
And also, this is a wildly unprofessional sonogram machine. If it's giving me thought bubbles, please, please don't leave.
And
me.
Only like, in English. Only thought bubbles in English. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Because those fetuses better know what time it is. Know what country you're in, fetus.
Yeah. So, we produce American fetuses here that speak English in America. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't. The thought bubble can only do the official language of the United States.
If the thought bubble is in Spanish, we're like, yes, please abort it. Like that, they actually are okay with it.
Yeah, they're like we're gonna have to call ICE now because this is limitations. Also what this place does.
That we can't have.
Jesus. Okay, I want to move on to talking about our laws around distracted driving because this is kind of So I think all of us we were there the era. I was in high school and college or in the aughts where like we were filled with stories about like we were just told constant stories about distracted driving. Like, people are getting into serious, sometimes fatal accidents, you know, because of this thing called the cell phone. People are texting and calling each other while driving. And that was sort of the big threat back then. But now, like, it's like I'll just for the record, it turns out every state except Montana enacted some kind of texting while driving ban. Like, which is very interesting. So, hey, if you want your freedom to fucking drive and crash into whoever the fuck you want because you're distracted, go to Big Sky Country. But technology has evolved. And nowadays, I feel like we all see it. I've been catching people watching full-on movies on their phones while driving, like holding it, watching like a movie. Or a motherfucker's FaceTiming and driving or watching YouTube. And not only do we have like dashboard mounts that can now just like fully put a cell phone screen in our eyeline, but like a lot of the newer cars also have big ass screens as part of the dashboard. And some of them you can hack to basically be a fucking TV or play games off of it while you're operating a motor vehicle. Mm-hmm. A recent survey showed that an embarrassing amount of people are casually driving and watching. About 25% of drivers reported watching movies, TV shows, or video clips while driving at some point in the last 30 days. About 15% of them said they do, or 15% of respondents said they did it regularly. 20% said they made video calls regularly in the previous month, and 15% recorded and posted video. And millennials, 25 to 34, I aged out of that group. What's wrong with y'all? Get it together. They have the highest rates watching videos, playing games, and scrolling social media while driving. For the record, Sarah, have you ever recorded and posted video while driving? I don't want to put you on blast, but are there?
Well, yeah, I mean, driving's boring. You gotta be doing something else while you're doing it. Like if you're not drunk, which you shouldn't be drunk, you know, you should be posting a video, obviously, of you driving. I don't know. I've never done that before.
But, right.
I just think that there's a lot of people that feel like they can handle it. You know, they're like, I can do this.
Oh,
and because they grew up with screens. And so I just think that then they get into an accident. And so it's just an awful situation of Darwin physics.
Yeah, right. It's like you were watching like Great British Bake Off, like while driving on Mulholland. That's a windy road. You shouldn't do that. Sadly, like a lot of the laws on the books across the country, they're so vague that watching and driving are perfectly legal in some instances. Because some states just some states have laws on their book that just explicitly ban watching TV broadcasts. So
you can't
literally
watch CBS,
anything.
ABC, NBC.
They better not. You better not be watching local broadcast television. Oh, you on the CBS app? Yeah, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's fine.
Oh my God. Corporations have taken over everything.
But, and so and only 18 states have laws right now that actually ban it, while the rest of the laws in the country are either so vague that it could go either way or just not banned at all.
So banning means that an officer can pull you over if he sees you doing that. And so that's a good deterrent.
Yeah. If it's banned, then they'd be like, they're on your phone. You can't be like, well, I wasn't watching broadcast TV. They're like, it doesn't matter what the fuck you were doing. That's that's banned.
Paramount Plus.
Some states, like in Texas, I think you could be like, this is Netflix, fam. So
no, I was watching Texas Rangers. Oh, okay. That's fine. Oh, okay. You're in Texas, so it's okay.
Exactly.
Certain shows are okay. Like while you're driving.
I was watching the World Series. Like, hold on. Was that being broadcast on television? You're like, fuck, you got me, man. He's like, but hey, we just won, so you're free to go.
Partner. Now, are people playing video games while driving? That would be interesting.
Like,
that's wild.
I've seen some Candy Crush swiping ass activities from people driving. Mm-hmm. It did not look like they were punching in an address. It's like you were playing a fucking puzzle game while driving.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell a story that might get me in trouble?
Go ahead. We all have stories that might get me in
trouble. I think the statute of limitations is over on this, but I actually did rear end somebody while I was looking at my calendar on my phone. This was 15
you're busy.
Years ago. Yeah. So
you had to go through all the
I got out of the ticket by leaning over enough into the cop's car that he could see most of my breasts.
Wait, you were leaning into the cop's car? Wait, what do you mean?
So he was riding he was in his cruiser or whatever, writing the ticket, and I got out of my car and I walked back there and he opened the door and I was leaning over and I was like, this really wasn't my fault. And I could he was looking right down my shirt and I was just letting him. And he was like, well, maybe we could go out sometime. And I was like, yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah.
And I got out of the ticket. So.
Wow.
Well done.
God. Thank you.
Yeah,
that was Mr. Right.
That's a skill move.
Mr. Far Right.
Yeah, Mr. Far Right, exactly. But I don't think that would work now. So.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I mean, obviously, laws won't change the problem right away. But to your point, Sarah, knowing something's illegal does usually help someone's risk assessment.
I put on a seatbelt all the time in the back seat.
Yeah.
Because I know it's illegal not to. Mm-hmm. And
also,
scared.
I've just seen just people not wearing seatbelts. I know if people who were trying to be cool got into light accident, had they been wearing a seatbelt, they wouldn't have just been boggled in the back seat, like a pair of cheap dice.
But I think young people just don't think that anything's going to happen. I just didn't think I thought I was going to be fine. So I just don't think there's going to be any consequences.
I'm definitely guilty at an occasional low key look as something frivolous, but it's wild how, because in my mind, you can't be on your phone. I keep that shit real low, which is actually worse because then my eye line is completely down that I've had to definitely reassess now that I'm a parent. But I'm Blake. I think you were telling me earlier, you have no temptation ever. You're so good about this.
No, I'll only record videos to promote road dates. But other than that, I won't do anything
dates.
It's more, my stand up dates is the only time I'll use the phone when I'm driving. But I won't watch broadcast. I would never watch something on broadcast. I would never watch a live event.
Okay, good.
Ever on my phone. Rory Scovel had a really funny joke. I think this was almost 8 or 10 years ago at this point, where on Conan he was talking about how states were starting to ban texting while driving, and Rory, for some reason, was using a Southern accent didn't address it on Conan. He just did it in a Southern accent the whole time.
Right.
He goes but we're just getting good at it. He goes why are they banning it just when we're getting, you don't look at it the whole time. You just look down, up. And it was just such a funny joke. So that's what I'm here to promote. Rory Scovel.
Rory Scovel's
from 10 years ago.
It is true. There is that sense of confidence of Like, you're like, nah, bro, there's other people that need to get their shit together.
But I mean, the worst is when you're in a Lyft and like the driver has like three phones and they're looking at what directions on one and they're texting on another. And you're like, what am I supposed to do about this?
Yeah. You know what's interesting? They said for people who are like, especially gig workers, like in the gig economy, mm-hmm. we're like four times likely to engage in distracted driving. And I like, you know, you hear anecdotally, like they're like, yo, bro, like my fucking Uber driver had a full on iPad on, like watching TV while we were driving around. It's like, but I was also watching that show, so I figured, fuck it. Like,
and it's how they're supposed to get, like, for Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, it's how they also make additional money, where while they're driving you, they'll get a notification from Lyft or Uber saying, hey, do you want to take this ride?
Boom,
and
boom.
It's, and then it's like, boom, boom. They have to do the math. They can see on the map where they're going. So it is just inherently distracting to be able to do that while you're working. Like, that's the game of it. And I don't know what they should do. Do you remember when they would sometimes bring like a friend in the car with them? Did that ever happen to you? Were early Uber?
They
would just, some of them would just have a buddy,
like in the front seat. They're like, they're like, oh, it's my friend Rachel.
Happened to both of you?
It happened in LA
like a bunch of times. Yeah, it was in
where
LA.
At first, I was like, is this shady? But like, I don't know. It was like a short ride, so I was like, whatever. Like, I feel like, you know, I could handle myself.
Justin is saying his sister just happened. That happened to his sister.
It happens. It happens sometimes.
And do you report it? Because that seems weird.
I don't know. I'm like, it's hard enough. Cool. Like, trying to fucking get your, like, you know, grinding it like that. I'm like, whatever, man. Like, if I catch you again doing that, then maybe I'll be like, do you have, like, does your mm-hmm. friend have to be drinking wine out the bottle straight up there?
Is he paying to be in this car?
Or if they bring a baby and they're like, hold this baby while I drive you.
At that point, I'm like, you have terrible judgment. Me? Fine. I mean, this baby looks cute. Fine. I'll rock the baby to sleep. But yeah. Please stay safe out there and don't try and wiggle your way through the laws. Distracted driving is bad. Okay. That's the official. Mm-hmm. That's my hot take today.
And that's why this is only an audio podcast, because we're saving lives.
Exactly. Exactly. I certainly don't want to distract you with my grizzled visage. certainly not. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about someone you know a bit about, Sarah, Donald Trump. And specifically, though, Trump's social media.
What if I didn't know anything about Sarah and I was like, oh, I didn't think those were Sarah's politics at all.
Did you work for
Oh, that's a kind of a curveball.
I would love to just like have it erased from my brain so I could be like, who's Donald Trump? Like, who is that?
Never heard of this person. But
oh my God, I guess kids are having to learn about him as a president, huh?
Yeah.
They're just learning about him. Yeah. There's some kids that are just for the first time. Like, wow.
Yeah, seriously. It's, oh my God. Yeah. Like, it's like when I was like Reagan was a president when I was born. And I just remember like my dad all the time be like, you don't want to know about Reagan's ass. And I'm like, I'm four, but like, sure. He's like, you know what he did to people that need help? He fucking left them out to dry. And I'm like, okay. All right, Dad. All right.
I'm so hungry.
I have I wrote like a journal when I was like 13 and Bush was president. And I put this in the book, like, and it was like the Iraq war was starting. And I wrote like, oh, Bush made a speech and it was really good. Like, I was such a little Republican.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, we have to support our troops. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And protect Kuwaiti interests. You're like, wait, what the fuck?
I don't know what that
you're
is.
You're parroting State Department talking points now. But like Truth Social specifically, right? We've heard how just like much of a disaster it's been, like that they needed to merge with a company in order to survive. And like they needed like a bunch of the shareholders to vote to approve this merger. Well, that happened and it bought them a bit of more time to survive. But Kirkland Signature Twitter, as we know it, is not quite working out as a business entity. So this deal that they've been planning with Digital World Acquisition Corp, which is a special purpose acquisition company, basically companies that are meant to take private companies public, like has given us a few details into what's happening. And what we found out is that, quote, since early 2022, Truth Social, which is owned by Trump Media and Technology Group, made $3.7 million in net sales and lost $73 million. Huh?
But they made... The rest of it, you're going negative. They made money. Yeah.
Focus on that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
So you've made almost $4 million? I'm like, well, no, well, then don't talk that mess about Truth Social. You know what I mean?
You can't make money without losing money. That's just
That's true. You know, it is true. That's also true. How degenerate gamblers think at a table when they're like, dude, you got to lose 6,000 to win 9,000. And you're like, this is an investment. Yeah. I sure it is, man. Can you let go of my wrist though? But yeah, they've just been constantly hemorrhaging money from the first 6 months. They lost $23 million in the first 6 months.
Is it Trump's money?
I think it's money that's been put in by Trump and other investors. Yeah, who are like, yeah, we'll back you because social media is too so woke and they're censoring free speech. They're not. Mm-hmm. That we need a place for our own. And I don't know if you remember when Truth Social was announced, it was part of like this like six-headed hydra of like a media entity that Trump was like talking about. Like there was going to be Trump Media something group plus, what do they call it? TMTG plus, which is like their answer to everyone putting out a streaming service that said to offer programs, including, but not limited to blue collar comedy, canceled shows, Trump specific programming, faith-based shows, family entertainment, shows that embrace the Second Amendment and news.
You know, who's cleaning up? You know, who's really cleaning up?
Who?
People who know HTML.
Yeah.
They're just like, you know what? Yeah, let me build you a site. I can do that for you. And these idiots are just like, yeah, okay, let's build a look. Anybody can build a social media site now. Anybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. They're like, yeah. Let's see. My cost will probably be like $3 million.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. For sure. Actually, you know what? The bill this month is $80 million. Sorry.
Oh, wait. Hold on. How many people did you want? Did you want millions of people using it? Oh yeah, millions. Okay. So it's $1 per user that you think will use it. So what do you said about 40? Yes. Let's do it for 40. It's fucking wild. But apparently Trump Media and Technology Group Plus, TMTG Plus, also completely gone. It's completely gone. You know what I mean?
Itgone.com.
Go to itgone.com where you can watch canceled shows.
Canceled shows is the fun. And it's not like Community, you know? Like, with
Cult. No.
Yeah. It, but like, they have what a cult following like? That cults follow them. Yeah.
That first
it's
season.
The Roseanne reboot.
Yeah. The first season of the Roseanne reboot, basically. Yeah. They're like, after that, no. Basically, none. Mm-hmm. We'll have outtakes from Community when Chevy Chase was saying racist shit. Mm-hmm. If that's it, we could make that a show. But yeah, canceled shows is so, it's funny because it's so vague.
I just want to be in the room, like when they were pitching this and I was like, we're going to call it Truth Social.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like the truth, but it's also social.
Oh my God.
It's going to be great.
Where did you find this person? He sells Coke to Don Jr. Oh, great.
We're going to find Hunter's laptop on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, bro. We'll find that dude. We'll fucking find everything, man. But we're going to call this TMTG Plus, man. Yeah, dude, fucking canceled shows, dude. Fucking guns and shit. Fucking God, dude. Family. Yeah, dude, it's fucking sick.
I'm going to invest. I think this perfect. Is a great idea.
These young guys, man, they have ideas. I mean, you've spent some time in the tech world. I'm sure you've seen some. You've been in rooms when
I've been in it.
How do you think it's actually working out? Like when people come up with like transparently bad ideas and like, okay, cool, let's go. That's a go. Mm-hmm. That's a go.
I just feel like Trump and all of these guys, they're just so stupid, you know, and I don't mean to use the word stupid in just a mean way, but they're just, and so I that's when I say like people who know how to build these things are cleaning up. Like, I think that they are agnostic. Like they don't actually care about the politics.
Right. It's a check.
They're just there to be like, hey, yeah, like we can build you a site. Yeah. Let's call it Truth Social. No problem. You know, mm-hmm. it's got no security. It's got no privacy. It doesn't work at all. It doesn't work at all. Okay.
It doesn't work.
It is held together with like spit, you know what I mean? But truly Trump is like, okay, let's keep funneling money into it. You know, it's like they found the mark. They found the guy. Mm-hmm. They found the guy who would pay for it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think because then everybody is so hypnotized by the IPO. That's why they're like, dude, I'm holding on, man, because hopefully we take this thing public and I can cash out on this uncashable check.
Oh, my God. Truth Social IPO. That'll be the day.
I know. But this is what
I can't wait.
What's interesting, too, I just found out is the special, like, what was it? The Special Purpose Acquisition Company, the SPAC, mm-hmm. that is meant to take Truth Social public. There's also like there's a new agreement that was just brought to light between the two parties that like they can terminate this deal now at any moment, starting from like October 31st, to, like November 20 something. So I don't know if like this trickle of stuff right now is meant to be like, yeah, actually, we don't want it. We had some additional due diligence and it ain't diligence. So
yeah, it's the tech bros cleaning up and now it's the finance bros cleaning up. It's just, right? They're just cleaning up.
Yeah,
the different lovable bro. Just a different lovable cross section of bros.
But I mean, but you know, Elon has ruined Twitter too. So I'm just like, every site is just falling apart. Every social media site to me is just completely falling apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about this like last week about how like millennials especially are in a weird place, like for, you know, being there for the beginnings of using the internet, whether that was like AOL and shit like that or Tumblr, you know what I mean? Like we've seen everything come and go, MySpace, and like, now we're watching it all fucking just go to shit. And like it does, like at least for me, we were saying like personally, I was like, yeah, it completely, I'm not really interested in using it. Like there's no magic to it that there was initially. And I don't know, that's because there's a bunch of like weird ass, you know, hateful people and bots and shit that are ruining, or like because we're just seeing it evolve in these weird, like profit centric ways. They're like, oh, no, man, just fucking shitty.
No, I was going to say, it's like interesting to where I think you see, or from my point of view, you hear about like acquisitions on the news, you read about them, but like they don't really affect you on a day, like on a day to day level. And then when Elon took over Twitter, I think that's the first one that's been primarily like front and center in my life, where obviously you see the hate on there and how, you know, like that's been perpetuated. And even from something as small as just because he fired so many engineers there. Yeah. Just some stuff, like you were saying, Sarah, it just doesn't work. Where I'm like, oh, like let me look up the analytics on this, and it's like, yep, sorry, this doesn't work right now. And we're like, what is going on? Oh, maybe it'll work tomorrow. And it's just, there's just things in the app that technically don't work anymore because he made so many cuts in so many brutal ways.
The search, the trending terms, like the other day, trending God, Hitler. Death.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what is, why are these things trending? You click on it, you don't even know why they're trending anymore. It's just
Yeah, right now, Will Smith and 99% Hitler are trending.
As we record, Hitler's been trending for a year and a half.
Every day. Hitler is going always on this trending.
Yeah. Oh, Hitler is so in, especially with that last Trump speech where he's calling his enemies vermin. But anyway, we will see what happens. It turns out, though, like if the merger doesn't go through, Truth Social and TMTG may not survive. Is the quote?
Oh my God, I'm gonna have to delete my account.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And Joe,
I gotta
Biden,
move my stuff over to somewhere else.
Hey, download all your data. Remember what Remember's like, download all your data, man. Just get it all off there before they get rid of it. Get all your Truth Social data off there.
I was thinking about delete. You know, I really do want to get off social media at some point. Like, I really do have this vision of just not being on anything. But like, I love my handle so much and I've had it for so long that I wouldn't want someone to take it over, you know?
Oh, yeah. So like, just do like, maybe we should have like the right to have like internet posthumously squatting on a handle kind of thing.
I love,
like,
that idea.
Yeah. We just need to, we're going to retire this handle and it will not be used for evil. And we can use it as a, you know, a reserve for fantastic thoughts and musings. Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. To, I guess, talk about Elon again, or at least how bad of a boss he is, right after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. SpaceX, speaking of Elon, they just announced that they may try launching their Starship rocket for a second time this Friday if they get approval from the FAA. And this comes fresh off the heels of an extremely damning investigation from Reuters. They uncovered, quote, over 600 previously undisclosed workplace injuries at SpaceX facilities since 2014. This is including everything from like cuts, lacerations, fucking head injuries to amputations. People have been in comas and tragically even death. One employee apparently died recently after sitting on some cargo that was being hauled on a trailer with no straps. And the guy said, oh, no straps. I'll just lay on top of this insulation so we can get it from point A to point B. And hopefully my body weight will keep this from blowing off the fucking truck. Tragically, a gust of wind blew him and the insulation off, and he was killed. Like, he was pronounced dead at the scene. OSHA, basically, like, I think, or anyone who just heard what happened, found that SpaceX had, quote, failed to protect the employee from what they say was a clear hazard. But it turns out, like, that's just kind of just a sample of how bad some people are getting injured there. One man was smacked in the head while they were testing an engine in 2022. Apparently, like, they were doing a pressure test of a Raptor V2 rocket engine. That's a tongue twister. And like a piece of the rocket blew off and fractured the skull of employee Francisco Cavada, and it put him in a coma. And reportedly, SpaceX has, quote, ignored the family's attempts to find out why he wasn't protected. And just, I know I said 600 injuries since 2014, but it's really important to note that that is only a portion of the total case count, because while OSHA requires companies to report injuries annually since 2016, SpaceX facilities have, quote, failed to submit reports for most of those years. So this is like when things were just bad enough. Mm-hmm. And like, the punishments are, as we say all the time, fines don't deter billionaires, mm-hmm. especially when the fines are a few hundred dollars to $7,000. Like, the fine for the guy who lost his life, they only had to pay a $7,000 fine for that. God. And it's not like, you know, I know people be like, well, maybe working on rocket ships is like a fucking hazardous gig. Not like, when you compare this to the space industry average, they are blowing records out. So in 2022, the injury rate at their Brownsville facility in Texas was 4.8 injuries or illnesses per 100 workers. That's six times higher than the space average industry of 0.8 per 100 workers. And the reason for this is where Elon comes in, is fucking Elon and his hatred of like regulations. Like, he mm-hmm. believes that employees should, quote, be responsible for protecting themselves. Mm. How? I'm sorry. How does that work? And also, like, when he would go to do like safety visits to sites, he would tell people, please take, he didn't want people wearing safety yellow vests because he dislikes bright colors. And
oh, for fuck's sake.
Would also be like walking around sometimes with one of his dumbass flamethrowers during a fucking safety visit. Like, what are you talking about?
People think this guy's a genius, by the way.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. It just shows you what like hair plugs and a few billion dollars can do. And suddenly you're the new fucking Tony Stark or whatever the fuck it is.
He also doesn't like airbags on cars because they're too round, he said, too. So he doesn't want them.
Seatbelts. Seatbelts will wrinkle your shirt, actually. So I don't like them.
Yeah.
Do away with them.
It's an aesthetic thing.
What were you going to say, Sarah?
Oh, no. I was going to say I have a chapter in my book. This is a joke I had about how like when we were at Google, like we had like an ergonomic chair to protect your body while your soul was dying inside, because like they were so obsessed with ergonomics. They were so obsessed with carpal tunnel syndrome.
Wow.
They didn't want us to get carpal tunnel. They didn't want our posture to be bad. They had standing desks so we could stand and sit. You know, it was so, they were so obsessed with us protecting our bodies. And so like, this is wild to me. The trajectory of tech in general. I feel like, yeah, this is bad for SpaceX and Elon, but I think a lot of industries, they've really started to care less about worker health in general.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, because Google and places like that, it seems a little insidious too, because they're like, no, we need you healthy so we can get every motherfucking ounce of life out of that corpse.
Yeah, all the perks that were there were so that you would stay, you know, so that you wouldn't leave the building.
Yeah. It's like when people talk about how they make like Wagyu beef and they're like, they fatten them up, they give them massages, they spit beer into their coats and rub it in. So they get to the point that their flesh is worth more than any other meat out there.
Like, right.
It's for the slaughter. But so apparently he, like Elon Musk defends this attitude because like in tech, it's always like move fast and break skulls. Or I think that's
break
like
everything.
Break everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Break every bone in your body. He says, because SpaceX is, quote, on an urgent quest to create a refuge in space from a dying Earth.
Oh, please. Can you go do that? Can he go first? Like, put him there first. Yeah. And him and Grimes can populate Mars.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And those other like weird billionaires who are like, just like, they're like, I need my sperm everywhere.
All the billionaires. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the guy who's like using his kid's blood to like keep him young. Like, have him go there as well.
Yeah, please.
That's fun. There's no amount of therapy.
We actually need refuge from billionaires. So please go there, because actually I believe with all the private flights and stuff, like the top 1% are going on. I think that would help tremendously, along with other things. But anyway.
I guess they don't have a union. I guess SpaceX and any of Elon's companies, none of those workers are unionized.
I wonder, is there a space?
I bet not, because I mean, I don't think he would ever allow that.
I feel like anyone would. They're like, I'm so proud to be hostile towards unions, is usually like the take of these kinds of guys.
Sarah, I thought you were asking if there was a billionaires union where it's like, oh, we've unionized the billionaires so we can have our rights finally acknowledged by society.
Dude, I think that's literally in our future. That's going to happen.
It is.
That it feels like it. Oh, yeah. It says employees were fired for speaking up about Elon Musk or talking about you. Okay. So it sounds like, Par for the course. But yeah, like also because of this like rush to get us to fucking Mars also meant that like employees have been taking like Adderall without prescriptions to like be able to fucking pull like wild hours and then falling asleep in bathrooms. Also to speed up the work, the company has literally been getting workers to weld rocket parts in a tent on the beach. And then like when the beach got too hot, they just hooked the people up to an IV and then sent them right back out there. And also in this like tent welding shop, apparently when the wind was blowing, they had to shut the flaps and basically enclose everyone in a tent with like carcinogenic dust. So it's all very Elon. So we'll see what happens.
This is wild. This is a $1 billion company and they're treating employees like this. I totally expect it in the Congo where they're trying to get diamonds out and stuff like that or whatever. But
it's that model. You are merely automatons meant to help us generate capital.
But what is the end game? Okay. What's the end game? Okay. So we have all of these people addicted to social media that's not working and they're all upset and their jobs are killing them. Like there's not going to be anybody left to buy the products that you're making. Okay. Right. There's going to be no one around. Everybody's going to be gone. We're all going to be dead. So what's the end game? You're going to build robots to buy your products.
Yeah.
Like you're going to build robots to make your products, and then you're going to build robots to buy your products. And it's just going to be all robots, I guess.
Right.
That's the end
game. Or it's the other one where they're like, well, you know, AI is going to be doing a lot of the work. So that's why, like, you know, you hear the very like cynical version of like, we need UBI. We need a universal basic income. And that's not because they believe that people like we should just move to that and give like we should have a basic income to live off of. But because they're like, but then when the fucking robots or AIs take their livelihood, they'll still have a little scratch to give back to us in the form of consumerism or something like that. It's all it all works out in a very dark way. Or they're just they build their fucking bunkers in New Zealand and are like, I'll hide. We had a guest on a couple weeks ago, Douglas Rushkoff, who like would talk to the billionaires who like build bunkers. And the way they talk is all like, how do I get them to not want like rebel against me like and take all the food? Can I like put like a detonator on their throat or something to keep them in control? And they're like, you actually haven't thought any of this through. Ooh. Like,
they're scared that their workers are going to rebel, so they're figuring out a way to have their workers not.
So in the context of the apocalypse bunker, like where they said they've like some billionaires are like, I have a team of like ex paramilitary,
like the
people who
bunker.
Protect the Holy people who shit. Will inevitably protect and labor for the billionaires in an apocalypse bunker. They're like, do I like make the code to the food something only I know, so that way if I die, they also don't get anything. And it's also like, and to your point, Sarah, it's that way of thinking that somehow helps you aggregate the kind of wealth to be a billionaire and also makes you a not human. So,
oh my God. Yeah. And that's why like Zuckerberg and all these guys are trying to build this city that no one else can get into, this like commune, because they know this shit is going to hit the fan.
Yeah. Or precisely that, like, they know at the end of the day, it's like this relentless pursuit of wealth and making the lineup go infinitely. Is only destroying the earth, destroying the fabric of our society. And they're like, I don't know, we're responsible for it. But at the same time, let's build a thing to insulate ourselves from it.
Yeah.
The good thing is
like every man for himself kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the good news is those plans will not work. Like it feels like no matter what you do, because even the people who are like, and I'll build this and I'll build that and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, what if a part goes out for your HVAC? You know what I mean? You have no AC. Do you have someone on staff that can like manufacture the part that you would need to fix it? Or do you have someone with that capability? And like, oh, I don't know. And then what if that has a knock on effect on your grow house that you say will provide your food? Because if that isn't temperature controlled, then what do you do? And then if you don't have the food growing or the water purification system, not just for you, but for your plants, and then they start going like,
well, this is very helpful. I do plan to be a billionaire. So it's good to know all this stuff going in.
Just be one of those people that no one wants to, like, well, the first person they think of when the shit goes down, like, you know who I'm going to pay a visit to?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Just be on the good side, please.
I'll be on the good side. Also, maybe just like be a billionaire, but like, don't tell anybody that you're a billionaire. That's probably a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Secret billionaire.
Yeah.
I like the idea that in this billionaire city, there's still like a version of a poor billionaire where, oh, you only have 1.5 billion. It's like you hear like 100%. Carl has an above ground bunker.
In Michigan? It's in Michigan. Oh, my God. He didn't get to New Zealand? Oh, poor guy. Because that's the other spot everyone's looking at is Michigan, because all that fresh water. But anyway, let's move on to something, just to wrap the show up, something a little more pleasant. Andre 3 Stacks, Andre 3000. He is releasing his fucking debut solo album, just me doing my thing. This is Andre Benjamin. Here I am. The album is called New Blue Sun. And before, like myself, I was like, oh my God, Andre's back. Yes.
Yeah, just it's gotta been let 17 you know. Years, right?
Yeah. It's been so long.
Flew by.
This album is, quote, entirely made up of instrumental woodwind music. It's just him on the flute, which I'm like, that makes sense. I've seen him, like, he's always, like, I feel like most of the videos I've seen of him recently are playing some kind of flute, which so people wouldn't be totally shocked. I didn't realize that the track She Lives in My Lap, he played flute on that. Like, he's playing woodwinds on that. Yeah, and also Where's the Catch with James Blake? He played woodwind, so I was like, oh, I had no idea. I was not familiar with your game, sir. And there were a couple of viral clips of him playing like a flute in an airport. But it's funny because, like, I think he knows how much his fans like love him as a rapper vocalist, and he's like a little apologetic. Like the first track of the album is, this is the literal track of the first album. Quote, this is track one. I swear, I really wanted to make a rap album, but this is literally the way the wind blew me this time. Is the first track. And he said, even on the cover, there's even a label that says, warning, no bars. Just to let you know, there will be no, you will not hear his voice. You will just hear, maybe you'll hear a breath here and there as he's playing. Mm. But I'll take
it. I love it.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's sweet. I think it's, yeah, I think it's cute. Like, let him do his thing. He's not bait and switching anyone. You know, let him play his woodwinds.
Yeah. I think, and also at this point too, like it's been so long where I stopped holding my, like I caught them when they had like a reunion tour, like in 2014. I was like, I was there for that. I saw that. I got my fill. But also it's nice because I feel like so much of that work is like, it's perfect. I'm like, yep, we don't need to augment this. If you want to, mm-hmm. sure, go ahead. Like, you know, like I like Big Boy's other projects that he does, but with like Andre, he's always been so vibey that I'm like, I can't get mad. And I feel like most people feel the same way. Like, I know some people are like, what's he doing? Yeah. Playing a flute, but whatever.
I as an artist, it's so brave to do something so completely different. I mean, it really is. It's very inspiring.
And it's also just like that just little bit of consideration for his fans who know him as a rapper vocalist, where he's like, the first track, I swear, I really wanted to make a rap album, but this is literally the way the wind blew me this time. I'm like, that's fine.
And he's just really funny. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know what the music, I personally have never listened to an album of just woodwind instruments ever in my life, but maybe this will start a whole new trend. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like people.
I want to see him and Lizzo do like a little thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A lot of flutes going down.
A lot of flutes.
Yeah. I think we'll see. I mean, I've seen people say they've heard bits and pieces of it. I'm not sure, like, if maybe they're at a listening party or something like that. But it's, I don't know. I mean, from the people who claim to have heard it, they're like, it's pretty cool. It's, like, trippy. And I'm like, all right,
I'm going to get high and listen to it.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine Andre, like, he comes out, he's just playing, like, Hot Cross Buns, like, with no backing track.
It's not good. Like,
motherfucker playing a recorder? The fuck is this? Then I might feel, I'd be like, bro. You had a lot of time to fucking get that recorder right. But
I mean, I think this will start a resurgence of recorder interest.
Yeah.
I remember I had a recorder.
Was recorder not like a part of the curriculum?
Required.
For a certain part? Yeah. Did you play recorder, Blake?
Did you play recorder? Yeah, that was my primary instrument. Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No.
Play recorder?
No bit. Yes, I did. Like that was because we had music class and I think that was the only instrument, because we had to buy it ourselves, I remember, but it was in terms of instruments, the most, you know, affordable instrument that you could possibly get. So we played like BAG, like that was Hot Cross Buns.
Of course, everybody, you fucking, that's the first track you learn on that shit is Hot Cross Buns.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But apparently, I didn't realize that like it's, like the reason too is that it helps like with creative thinking skills, like finger dexterity.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, my teacher is just a weirdo making us play this shitty plastic flute. But no, there's. It turns out there is a reason. There's more than just Mary Had a Little Lamb. I'll have to look into it. But anyway, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist. It's been a pleasure. It's been wonderful talking to you. Where can people find you, follow you, get your book, all that stuff, and hear more from you?
Yeah. I mean, my book's available wherever books are sold. You can get it anywhere. It's on Kindle. There's an audiobook that I recorded myself. So, you know, if you want to listen to it, you can do that while you're driving. And you can go to sarahcpr.com for my other info.
Great handle. And is there a work of media, social or otherwise, music, art, anything, something that's inspired you that you'd like to share with the class?
Yeah, I love Timothy Chalamet's kind of white SoundCloud rapper impression on SNL this past weekend. It was I've watched it like 50 times at this point. It is so funny. It makes me crack up every single time. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
No.
I've got to watch it. Yeah, now I'm going to watch it.
You have to watch SNL. The way that he has just captured like dead eyes, but also just like just mumbling and just
the bars.
I mean, and he says, "Yeah, I got this new track. It's it's about capitalism." But he doesn't say capitalism. He says capitalism.
Capitalism.
And then he's like, "People Perfect. Be capping all the time." It's so funny. It's so funny.
Stop the cap. Stop the cap, y'all.
Stop the cap.
Break. I said break. Blake, where can people find you, follow you, and all that good stuff?
I'm at Blake Wexler on all social media. And then my hour special, Daddy Long Legs, is still streaming on YouTube. December 1st, I'm going to be in Asheville at Catawba Brewing. And then December 16th, someone from the Zeit Gang, which is Sarah, the fans of the show, helped me set up. I'm going to start doing a monthly show in Brooklyn at Strong Rope Brewing in Gowanus. So December 16th is our first show at 8 p.m. And John helped set that up. And happy birthday to Paul Garaventa, who is a listener.
PG. Yeah, we know PG. Okay. Yeah, PG's down with all the shows we make. I always appreciate all the support from Zeit Gang. And guess what? We notice. We appreciate
it. We notice.
We really do. We really do, because it allows me to continue to tell my family that I am a podcaster. And yes, that is how I support myself.
That was the goal.
This was so much fun. You guys are so much fun. I do have to say that this was enjoyable.
Oh, amazing. Sarah, they're so cool.
You are a legend. Thank you. That does mean a lot to us because you are very talented and exceptional. Mm-hmm. And like I said, your reputation preceded you, and it's really great to have you. And it turns out you are a cool person. And not a shit bag. We love that. We love that. You can find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they're serving at symbols. You can find our show, The Daily Zeitgeist, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook page, a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you, Blake. A little late, but I'll take it.
I'm not a regular host, so what do you want from me?
I know. The tweet that I do like, I do want to shout out a tweet. At SagistarBB, might be something to do with Sagittarians, said the quote, "You don't owe anyone anything generation is the loneliest generation to date." Shocking. Yeah, shocking. Great. Totally. Yeah, and also, let's see, a song that we're going to write out on, obviously that's going to be in the footnotes, is this from this artist, Rugawd, R-U-G-A-W-D. I think they're a bassist, but they have like this track is called Almost, and like the album art for it is like a Hello Kitty, but like a Gundam. But the music is really kind of funky, futuristic. So if you like that kind of thing, check it out. Rugawd, R-U-G-A-W-D with Almost. All right, that's going to do it for us. Today, we'll be back later to tell you what's trending, and I guess we will see you then. Bye.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.